tent. I don't know but one time under this tent that I've worn my coat, and that was when it got down to 58 degrees, and we had this tent in Georgia doing the meeting at Dr. Dave McCoy's church, and they hadn't had a tent meeting in years down that way, and we borrowed the tent and took it down and got it down for them, and down to McDonough, Georgia, and the end of April. That's not really it's a fair condition of weather, but the wind, we had light snow that week, and we had rain and sleet, and we had the wind, tremendous wind. These quarter poles were as high as 2 feet off the ground, and they were going to go, will it stand? I said, until it falls. I said, everybody was looking, sitting around like, is it going to stay on the ground? And I said, until it comes down. Have no fear. I've been in tent meets where they were very, very rough, but that helps out the preacher a little bit. You can preach on how, hey, it's rough now. Oh, I've got to turn it on, don't I? And there we go. Didn't have that. Anyway, you can preach a little harder, and God use that to His glory. Let me say to you, church, I appreciate so much your prayers for our family and your kindness and this last year. As many of you know, we've had a difficult year. And I told people, it did not catch God by surprise. But it did catch us by surprise. And, I'm thankful that He's the one who holds tomorrow. And He's not worried about tomorrow. Even though tomorrow may frighten us, I'm thankful it never frightens Him, because He's the one that holds that tomorrow. And I thank God for His strength and His aid and His help in that time. And of course, a heavy load. I thank God for my wife, and I thank God and thank you for praying for her. She's the one that's been carrying a lot of the load. And somebody said, well, she's got 4 children to take care of. I said, no, she's had 5 to take care of. And I thank God for my family assisting. Mom, my mother, I'll tell you, I thank God for her and my sisters and my family, immediate family, for helping and being there and helping with the children. And I found out, I was hoping that it would be the other way around. Brother Mark and I are the same age, and I was hoping, because I was going to rib him heavily and say, hey, he's the old one here preaching this week, amen, and after Dr. Fidena left, but anyway, I can't do that, so I'm going to shut my mouth, and I thank God for all that God's been doing here this week. And do continue to pray for us. Our support level is coming along. We're at 52% of our support that is coming in, and we have 28% of our support that is in waiting. You say, what is in waiting? I've got them. They're going to help for 1 year, and of that 28%, we have about 8% that after the first year, they will evaluate and look at where we're at and assist us another year, and getting the work planted in that, out in Washington, and try to transition the end of this year. You pray with us, we can get everything together. I don't know why God delays us, but God does delay us, amen, at times. And sometimes he speeds things, sometimes He holds back. But we know this, we have to be in God's time. If I had my way, we'd already be there and have already started. But God knows exactly what He's doing. And so we want to be in God's time. I believe the hardest thing that you will find as a child of God is this: learning to wait upon the Lord. Learning to wait upon the Lord. I believe that's some of the hardest things, the hardest times that you'll find in your life is learning to wait on the Lord. Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Joshua and chapter.
Somebody hit the white button already. We got that on. In Joshua chapter number 6, I know we live in a difficult day and a difficult time, but I do know this. I do know this. Listen, God's in control. God is in control. We do live in difficult times. And somebody I heard say a while back said, hey, I don't see much to laugh about. I don't see much to smile about. I turned and looked at them and I said, well, I see who you are. And I said, I don't see much to laugh and smile about either. Amen. But anyway, in the midst of the hardship, this ought to be a time of rejoicing on our part and our service for the Lord. I want to challenge you tonight, as we in our walk for God, that we follow the Lord and that we be what God wants us to be. I don't know about you, but I want God's will and way in my life in every aspect. And I want to be in a place where God can use me and where God can get glory in and through our lives. In Joshua chapter number 6, we know the story that's given to us here is the account of Joshua there at Jericho. And I'm trying to clean my glasses. I've got them smudged real bad and on that side, and everything's just a blur. But in Joshua chapter number 6, we know that Jericho is straightly shut up. And they're up against and facing some obstacles that's in their way. They've crossed across the land, crossed across the river, of Jordan, and to the land of plenty. The place that God has promised them and give to them for their inheritance. And as they come to that place and they've crossed over in, there's some things standing in their way. And here in this passage of Scripture, I believe that God would have us to see. I'm just going to read 3 verses, then we'll get into the message tonight. And notice this, as they come and orders were given and they were seeking, end of chapter number 5, you find Joshua, when he's seeking leadership. We can be assured of this, that God is faithful. God, listen, we can bank on His leadership and we can bank on His loyalty. And we find that instruction is given unto him how the city is to be taken and how that the obstacle is going to be overcome. And I'm thankful that God helps us in our way and He gives us what we need, to overcome that which is in our way. And we find, let me read the verses of Scripture in verses number 14. The orders have been given and they began to follow them. And the second day in verse 14, they compassed the city once and returned unto the camp. So did they 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and they compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass that on the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, and Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. He said, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. I want to speak to you a little bit on the thought tonight on preparing for God to work. I want God to work in my life, and I want to be in a place where God can do great things in and through me. Not for my glory, but for His glory. That's what ought to be our heart's desire. That we're in a place and we've prepared ourselves so that God can be glorified and exalted. Father, tonight we thank You for Your goodness and grace. Speak to us, I pray, through Thy Word. May You be magnified. Oh, God, may You be exalted tonight. And may we be encouraged as the children of God. May we as individuals, as in our service and our walk for God, be challenged and encouraged, Father, to continue forward. God, may You be glorified through Your Word tonight. Speak to the heart of the believer, but speak to that one that may not know You as their personal Savior. And I pray tonight, God, that You be with Brother Curlin as he comes and preaches at the moment. God, use him as well. Use Your Word tonight. We know if we send forth Thy Word, it will not return void. God, may You be glorified, and we give You thanks and honor for everything. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I believe there's nothing more that we ought to want than to want God to work in our lives. I want God to do something in my life, in my presence, in my midst. I don't want to hear of that which is done in the past. No, hey, I like to hear that, and it's good and wonderful to have memories. I've been reared all the days of my life in the house of God. And I've laid on the pews and slept, and the Word has trickled in my subconscious, and I heard the Word of God preached. But I can't live in yesterday. I've seen God do great things yesterday as God worked. And I've been in great revivals and great meetings. I've been in protracted meetings that have gone for 10 and 11 weeks and seen people as high as 80 and 90 people a week saved, and God do wonderful things. In my youth, I can remember those meetings. And great men of God would stand and preach the gospel and preach the Word of God and sound it forth unashamedly. And they would proclaim the goodness of God. Seeing God do great things. But let me say to you tonight, I want to see God do great things today. Now, let me say this to you. The God that did great things back there is the same God that we serve tonight. He's no different. You say, how do you know? Can you give me some Bible on that? One verse that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. Oh, listen, my friend. I want God to do something in this day and hour. You say, do you believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we can ask or think? Let me say to you, I believe, amen. I believe that God is capable. I believe that God can do beyond our expectations. And listen, my friend, reveal His glory and show forth His goodness and magnify Himself today as He did in days gone by. Oh, listen, I want God to work. I want God to do something. I want God to manifest Himself. I want God to magnify Himself. I want God exalted in these days. Oh, listen, I want God to work. But listen, I want God to work in our day, not just in others, but I want God to work in my life. Oh, I'm saying, I believe that was the same with Israel at this point in time. They'd come to the place. Oh, listen, they wanted God to do something great and work on their behalf. And that's what we ought to want here in this passage of Scripture. In Joshua chapter 6, we see the victory and the blessings that Israel's received. We see the victory and the blessings that they have received. Now, in order for us to see all that God has done and all the victory that they have obtained to this point and this place and how victorious they are and all the blessings they've received in the past and how they've received a great blessing in this place, we have to go all the way back, I believe, to Egypt. We'll go back to that point. We find it there that God called a man. In Exodus chapter number 3, you'll find that God began to work in the life of a man. And God began to build him. God built him as a leader, to lead God's people. I'm thankful that God is capable of doing that today. He has men that stand and proclaim unashamedly the things of God. I think we have preachers, men of God, that will stand and proclaim the truths of the Word of God. Now we find that God prepared a man. Listen, God worked in his life. And God educated him on the backside of the desert and says, I have a work for you. Aren't you thankful tonight that God has a work for us all? Amen. God's working in your life and He's working in my life and to prepare you and prepare me for the work that is ahead. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful for that. Now think about there is Moses. God began to work in his life. God said, I got a job for you. I want you to go down and I want you to stand before Pharaoh and I want you to tell him to let my people go. We find that he goes down to Egypt. He's obedient to the word of Lord. And he goes down and he stands before the Pharaoh. And he says to Pharaoh, God hath sent me down here. You say, what authority do I have to go to the world and stand and tell them about God's goodness and God's grace? Hey, listen, let me tell you something tonight. You can go because God has sent you, amen. For He's the one that sends us forth. He goes and He stands there in front of Pharaoh and He said, God has sent me down here. And God says, let my people go. We find that as He steps out and He walks out and He steps before Pharaoh and makes these things. Well, what does Pharaoh do? Pharaoh hardens his heart. Pharaoh hardens his heart. You say that Pharaoh hardened his heart against Moses? No. Pharaoh did not harden his heart against the words of Moses. But see, what Pharaoh hardened his heart against is the very words of God. That's not like in our day here, my friend. Listen, a man of God can stand and preach. Even this week, it's sad to say, there's some that's turned a deaf ear. There's some that's turned away. And listen, my friend, and hardened their heart, not against the man of God's words, not against Brother Curley nor Pastor Fredena's words, no, nor my words, but they've hardened their hearts against the Word of God. When, listen, my friend, the Word is sent out, prepare to meet God. Give yourself to God. There have been people that sat under this tent that hardened their heart. They know the truth, but they have hardened their heart against the very words of God. So don't be upset when you go and talk to those and witness to those and talk to them about the Lord God Almighty and they harden their heart. See, they're not against you. They're against the words of God. They're against what is being spoken, what has been given forth. Now, we see that Moses was obedient to the fact and he gave forth the word. He proclaimed the word. He gave the word. And Pharaoh hardened his heart against those words. We see what takes place. Because of the hardness of his heart, God brought judgment. God brought judgment. God, did you hear me? God brought judgment because of the hardness of their hearts. Oh, listen, my friend, because he would not yield. Let me say, you can an individual can sit with, as my old preacher used to call it, and the Word of God calls it, a stiff neck, and harden theirself, and say, I'll not be moved. And they'll sing that song, preach as hard as you want to, I shall not be moved. You give me the Word of God, but I'll not be moved. But let me tell you, there's a God in heaven. You may think you have might, you may think you have power, and you can stand against God, but let me tell you, you're standing against one who has all the authority and who has all power that can break you and bring you to a point of submission if need be. He can tenderize your heart. Oh, we need to learn to be submissive to the Word of God and not stiffen our necks. But we see Pharaoh, what did he do? He hardened his heart. He hardened his heart against the words of the Lord. God began to bring judgment upon him and the people of Egypt because of that hardness. We see the plagues that of flies and we see that of the frogs. And I don't know if that's been too bad. Brother, you said you like frog legs, amen. But I guess that many of you get to where you'd absolutely hate them. But he brought the flies, brought the locusts, and then the tragedy of that, of the firstborn across the land of Egypt died. The firstborn, the death passed upon across the land of Egypt. And there was a horrible death in that land. Oh, listen, we see that he hardened his heart against the words of God. I think about those that have hardened their hearts against the things of God. And I think about this. What is it going to take? What is it going to take? What is it going to take? Listen, for them to heed the Word of God. What's it going to take for us to pay attention and hear what God has to say and take heed to it? Oh, we find that Israel left and they marched across the Red Sea. And on will we find them coming to the place of Kadesh Barnea. We find that place of blessing. And they come. And of course, they send the spies in. We know the story. The accounts, they come back. And they give a glowing report. Listen, of all the bounty, all the good that's there. But I began to think about this very aspect. When I began to think about this, here's the multitude that said, we can go in. We can, there's plenty there. But then there's a multitude that say this, hey, we can't possess the land. We don't have the means. Do you see? They begin to belittle themselves and belittle God. You say, why is that? Because they did not exercise faith in God. God said, hey, I have a place for you. I have a place of blessing that's filled with plenty and has much there for you to withhold and have and be blessed by. But what do? They turn their back. They turn their back on the blessings of God. And the masses said, hey, listen, there's plenty there, but we can't do it. But look here, that we're grasshoppers in their sight. I think about there's two men. Oh, listen, that stood and said, oh, Joshua and old Caleb. They said, hey, listen, we can do it. We believe God. I believe God. You believe God. God's able. God's able to provide and make a way. Now think about this. They'd already forgotten their past blessings and their past victories. See, they said, let's just turn back and let's go back to Egypt. Well, I find a lot of that crowd in the church houses across America today. They want the leeks of Egypt and the garlic of Egypt, and they want to live. Hey, listen, the majority of churches today, the pews are filled with the people who want to live in Egypt, but yet they want to come to the tabernacle and worship the Lord and straddle the fence. Let me say, you can't live in sin and have holy hands when you stand before a holy God. You can't do it. God will not bless it. But they had forgot their past victories and blessings. See, when they came out, when they came out of Egypt and marched across and up through, listen, they had no material, no armament to fight with. Who was good to them and went before them and dealt with their enemies and gave them victory and provided armaments for the task than the battles in the land of victory? Hey, who took care of him and fought their battles? I'll tell you who fought their battles. It was God. God fought their battles. And God blessed them and provided for them and gave them victory. But yet they turned their back on God's goodness. I bet you many of you sitting here tonight, many of you individuals sitting here in this congregation can think right now, names popping your head, where there were people you could look around and say, yeah, I remember who sat here and who sat there. But what have they done? They've turned their back at Cadesh Barnea and they've walked back to Egypt. Hey, they've forgotten what God has done for them in the place along the way. They've walked out of the house of God, but they've come. God said, because of it, those in 20 years hopefully, they're going to perish. We know what took place. For the next 40 years, they had 137 funerals a day. If you average out if it's 2 million, I don't know exactly, but we just use the estimate of 2 million. For the next 40 years, they left heaps of sand in the desert as they walked day after day, as they traveled in the wilderness. Listen, and that was the mounds, those mounds. Every time they went to a gravesite, every time they went, and buried another aunt or uncle or mom or dad or what have you. When they went there, they realized, hey, we forfeited God's blessing. I encourage you tonight, don't forfeit God's blessing. Don't turn God's goodness aside. Don't take it for granted that what God has given to you. But here they've come again. God has brought and placed upon the scene another great leader. And God is using this man, Joshua, to lead His people over. And here they've crossed now, and they're in the place in that promised land. And they've come up. They're facing the very first thing in their life as in this place of victory, or this place of Canaan, this land of blessing that God has promised to them. We see that number one here, that we began to notice three things here tonight. Notice God was preparing, working in their lives, but they prepared themselves for God to work. They'd become obedient, and they come to a place and said, we want God more than anything. And they began to practice obedience to Him. See, when they come to Jordan this time, or when they come to this place and God said, I want you to cross over, they said, hey, we know the consequences of it by not being obedient. And they said, yes, Lord, where you lead, I will follow. Where you lead, I will follow. Here we find that they practiced obedience. The children of Israel find themselves in a place. Facing Jericho. They wasted little time and getting busy in doing what God said. God had said, listen, the city's yours. God had promised to them and said, this here, what's before you, all that's here, you'll possess. It's yours. I've given it to you. It's your inheritance. I'm blessing you with this. And we see that they began to follow through. They're obedient. Notice the instructions that are given in Joshua chapter number 6. We find in Joshua 6 that the orders for taking the city and, listen, having victory in that place of the land of the living where God had given to them was this. You're to march around. He tells them. He gives the order. And it shall come to pass that when they, verse number 4, and the seven priests shall bear before the ark the seven trumpets of ram's horn. In 7 days you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpets, and all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. See, the instructions have been given on order for them to have victory and to possess victory. They must be obedient. You say, preacher, what are you saying? If we're going to prepare ourselves for God to work and God to bless us and give us victory, let me say to you tonight, we must prepare ourselves and practicing obedience. See, God has given to us the Word. Now, I know in 2 Timothy, he begins to point out that all Scripture has been given to us by inspiration. And we find that all the Scriptures given to us for reproof, correction. But notice the last aspect, instruction in righteousness. And I love the next verse when it says this, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. Hey, I believe that's every child of God. Amen. You want to be thoroughly furnished. Listen, my friend, and find God's blessing. And find God's victory. Listen, and have that in your life. Let me say to you, that we must be obedient if we're going to be thoroughly furnished. See, the instruction of God, the world tells you, and some Christians will tell you, how we're to conduct ourselves. How are we to talk? How are we to dress? How are we to act? How should our appearance be? How should our attitude be? Everything about it. Well, I'll tell you, thank God we got a book called the Bible. Amen. That gives me the instructions how I'm conducting myself. How am I to walk and live for God? Listen, God just didn't save you and hang you out there and lead you. Amen. Thank God He gave you some help for the journey. Amen. Oh, listen, he said this. He said, give you instruction. Thank God we have instruction. But what are we to do with that instruction? We're to be obedient to the Word of God. Listen, people say to me, preacher, why am I not being blessed? Why am I not having victory in my life? Why can I possess these things? Where am I going wrong? And they begin to talk. And some of them don't even have to tell me anything because I already know how they live. I say, listen, it's because you're not being obedient to this book. You're not faithful to the house of God. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when the doors of the church house are open. Listen, let me say to you, if you're not faithful to the house of God, don't expect God to bless you. And don't expect God to give you victory because He's not going to do it. You say, how do you know He won't? He won't do it. He blesses those that are faithful. He said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Let me say, you break God's law, and He, listen, my friend, He won't bless you. Hey, my friend, the Bible tells us as individuals that we must be obedient. If we're going to find God's blessings, then we're going to have to find ourselves faithful in the walk of God and the goodness of God. Listen, God honors obedience. But let me say this to you. God hates disobedience. God hates disobedience. You say, what are you saying, preacher? Listen, God honored them here and gave them the victory. and gave them blessings and gave them what He said He would give to them because they were obedient to His Word. They were obedient to the Word. But let me say, God hates disobedience. God hates disobedience. I believe that one of the greatest examples that God dislikes it and God judges it and God, listen, doesn't look kindly upon it is that of King Saul. King Saul. Boy, King Saul, he was a very humble man in his beginnings. Listen, he would hide. Here's a man who was head and shoulders. He was probably a good strapping fella. But here's this fella. He was very humble in his beginning. But I'll tell you, pride cometh before a fall. He began to think of himself, as the Apostle Paul would put it, more highly than he ought to think of himself. He began to think much of himself and say, hey, look, I'm the king of this place. And he even went before Samuel. He didn't wait on the man of God. He didn't wait on the man of God. But what did he do? He said, hey, I'm about ready to lose the people. Boy, don't that sound like some of the churches nowadays? Oh, the preachers are worried. Well, we're going to lose the people. And they change the word of God. And they change their belief. They change their standards. They change their music. Buddy, they change it all. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can pretty well tell and mark it down in your pastor and other preachers, and Brother Curlin can probably tell you as well, if we watch your life just a little bit, you dip your colors on your standards, you dip your colors on your music, I can tell you what you're headed for. You're headed for trouble. Hey, listen, my friend, that's the first thing. Well, you know, have you heard this one before, Pastor Gilmore? Well, you know, I don't believe God really means that there. Hey, listen. God's Word has never changed. Now, listen, people have known me for years there. Dr. Joe Bryant, he's talking a while back, and he said, you know, I was telling somebody, I told him, you're just like you were when you was a teenager. You ain't no different. You stand where you always stood. Your beliefs and your standards. Hey, listen, your daddy taught you well, and he taught you the Word of God, and you're aware of the Word of God. But he said, I told him that you didn't get your standards and all. You got their Bible, amen. You don't believe them because you were taught that by your pastor, Dr. Lackey. You didn't get it because of the fact that your daddy believes it. No, listen, I come to a place in my life and I began to search the Word of God and I found out, hey, it's not because some man said it, but it's because God said it, amen. And that settles it. Nothing else is added to it. Boy, you dip your colors, and I'll tell you where you're headed. You're headed out the back doors of the church. Boy, I encourage you. Listen, just be obedient to the book. Don't make no difference how many people laugh, how many people scorn, how many people may look at you funny and say, look at them, they're an old fuddy-duddy. Hey, listen, but you stand. You stand. You be obedient to the Word of God. God said you walk this way, you live this way, you do it this way. Then you keep doing it that way, amen. And don't back down. And here we find that old King Saul, what did he do? He began to think more highly of himself and he began to worry about losing the people. And what did he do? He stepped in and did it his way. He did it his way. He did it his way. He said, I'll perform the sacrifice. I'll do this. Boy, he got in trouble for that one. But then the big one was this. When God told him to go down, he said, I want you to go down. And I want you to destroy, annihilate, do away with the Amalekites. And don't you bring anything back. You destroy it all. You do away with it all. He goes down there. To do what God said. But what did he do? He changed the words. He thought, well, you know, I don't think God wants me to do all that. You know what I think I'll do? Look at them beautiful sheep over there. Oh, look at these asses here. Look at the camels over here. Let's just take it back. Hey, you know, I'm conquering these people. and I've got the victory. Let's take the king and some of his household back as a trophy of victory to the people of Israel. Did God say that? No, God didn't say that. He said, destroy all. So here he comes. Here comes King Saul back, and he's marching. Here he's coming. And in the way, as he's returning, here comes that old prophet. He's kind of hunkered down. He's walking along. That old man of God's walking. As he's walking along, he probably raises his head and looks. And who does he see? He sees King Saul. You say, how did you know? He's head and shoulders above all. He could distinguish him out from among all the others. And he's marching, he's walking up through, and he gets close unto him. And I believe, O King Saul, his pride's well within him. And he's happy he's done what God has sent him to do. And here he's got the victory. I believe he kind of catches hold of his royal robes and he puts his hands on them. And the prophet of God walks up and says, have you done all that God has told you to do? Now I can see that boastful heart, that prideful face. It's a glow all with victory. And he said, he looked at the prophet, the man of God, and looks down at him and says, oh, I have done all that God hath commanded. Oh, but what happened? You hear the bleating of sheep. Hey, listen, be sure your sins will tell on you, buddy. Hey, listen, he was disobedient. He was disobedient in word and deed. He lied from his mouth. Isn't that amazing? Hey, listen, Christians, because they get convicted and they, oh yeah, I'm doing what God says. Oh, you better humble your heart before God. That's just like stealing a piece of candy and then saying, no, I didn't do it, as a kid would do it. Hey, listen, don't lie to God. God's looking on. But God let that old man of God know. And he took his fingers and he stuck it up under the nose of that king. He said, hey, I heard that bleating of sheep. It's notified from heaven to let, hey, this message that's come laying loud and clear, and I deliver it to you. Listen, you've disobeyed. You have not honored the word of God. And because you have done that, the kingdom shall be rent from you. Not worthy. Not worthy. Not worthy. Oh, listen. He said, God didn't tell you to do that. Let me tell you the judgment that God, listen, the things that happened because of his disobedience. You go to 2 Samuel chapter number 1, you find the Philistines has come to war against them. And you find in chapter number 1, or at the end of 1 Samuel, and that at the beginning of 2 Samuel, the battle is set in array. And Saul was smitten in the battle. What does he do? He withdraws. He withdraws from it. And there's a strike in, if you read chapter 1, I'm telling you, it'll send goosebumps up your back the size of grapefruit. Hey, listen, I'm saying, hey, when you read this, it'll curl your toenails up, as they used to say down in the hills. Amen. Hey, when you read it, here's what it... Notice, he's there. He's wounded. And he's dying. And he looks. And he's asked his arm bearer. He's asked him to take his life, and he won't do it. Because he knows he's one of God's anointed. We don't have time to get into all that tonight. But he's laying there. And he looks and he sees this one. And he says to him, what is thy name? What is thy name? Now I noticed this. It did not record him saying, my name is James or Frank or George or Sam. No, it didn't do that. But can you imagine this man, King Saul, who is a big man, who was once humble but has come pridefully and doing things his own way. He hears these words from that man. He said, who art thou? And he said this, I am an Amalekite. I am an Amalekite. Can you imagine with me a moment? Oh my. He thinks, oh, they're the ones that God told me to go and destroy, to do away with. And I let them live. And here, this Amalekite that's standing there, you'll find that this Amalekite took the life of King Saul. Put him to his death. Because he was disobedient. Listen, the application is this. The very thing that he was not obedient in was the very thing that took his life. Listen, obedience seems to be an elementary thing, but it seems like it's hard for us to find ourselves doing that and find ourselves in a place of obedience. The children, even from a child, Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Very first verse we taught our children. Listen, it's not, I tell them, hey, mom and daddy didn't say that, but God said that. God says for us to obey. And as children, we learn to obey our parents. As Brother Curlin said the other night, it's a process, or maybe it was Pastor Padilla, I can't remember which one. And we've heard so much preaching this week, and I'm enjoying it, amen. But think about the fact that said, you learn, you're teaching them. Well, listen, I want them to be sensitive that when God speaks to them, listen, don't ever get a prideful heart. Don't think of yourself more highly. What God says to you, you be obedient in. Always have a tender heart and a submissive heart to the things of God. Oh, here the thing that he wasn't obedient in was the very thing that took his life and destroyed him. Listen, my friend, I don't have time to get into it, but you can go. Because he wasn't obedient, you find David, it goes back to Ziklag, where he was living. And you find what? While he was away, the Amalekites had come and caused it. And finally, David went and he slew them. Did away with them. Hey, listen. He had to deal with the sin of another. Their disobedience. You say, preacher, what are you saying? You want God's blessing. You want God's victory. Prepare yourself for it. You say, how can I prepare myself that I can have God's blessing and God's victory? Listen, place yourself in the way and be obedient to God, to His Word, and follow Him. And I'll tell you, in the land of victory, and the land of plenty, the land that's filled with God's bounty of blessing, hey, listen, God will give you more than you deserve. He'll give you more than you would ever expect. You say, why? God honors obedience. And God hates disobedience. You say, I want God's victory in my life and I want God's blessing in my life. Then do this tonight. Practice obedience to Him. I don't have time to preach the rest of the message tonight. But I trust that God's burned my heart with this portion of Scripture that, and challenge your heart. Listen, keep walking on for God. Keep practicing the book. Keep living for God. Don't worry about popular opinion or what others may think. But you position yourself where you can get God's blessing and God's victory in your life as a child of God. Others may forsake Him. Others may walk away. But I'm going to follow on. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Still I will follow. I'm going to listen. I want to live where I can have the blessings of God. And God working in my life for His honor and glory. Not for my gain. Not to be himself up, but that He might be exalted. He said, if you lift me up, hey, listen. He said, I'll draw him unto me. Our responsibility is to exalt Him. Let's magnify Him and exalt Him. God, tonight, help us. I pray. Oh, God, help us to magnify You through an obedient walk, through every step of our way. God, help us to be obedient and love You and follow You and give You all the days of our life. Oh, Lord, I know there's sometimes that we may stumble here or there. We're not obedient in some aspect, or we didn't follow You. Lord, help us when we realize that to get on our own. Say, God, help me. God, forgive me. Help me to always follow every word that You've given to me, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.